I'm Alec Baldwin, and you're listening to The Story. In every episode, you'll hear the unknown stories of trailblazers who changed the world. You'll get to walk a mile in their shoes, and their identity is a secret until the climax.
Hey everyone, this is Stephanie from The Mission. This season of The Story is brought to you exclusively by our friends at Salesforce. We use Salesforce every day to create podcasts like The Story. Learn why 99 of Fortune 100 brands partner with Salesforce and see their products in action at salesforce.com.
This is the story of a man who escaped death, hopped from job to job, and went on to shape American culture as we know it. Today's story is called 67 and Counting. And now, on to the story. There was only one piece of mail that day. The high school dropout cracked open a beer and stared at the letter. He cursed under his breath as he looked at the return address, the U.S. government. He snatched the letter and opened it. He'd been drafted. The year was 1951, and World War II was over, but the Korean War was just getting started. The man holding the letter had grown up during the Great Depression and then endured World War II. During those dark days, the only thing his family had to cling to was a promise from the media and Washington. Don't worry, World War II is the war to end all wars. The implicit idea behind the pact was simple. After this war, we'll figure out a way to prevent this kind of fighting. After the madness, rational thought, diplomacy, and collaboration will return and prevail. But those promises were broken, and now there was another war demanding new draftees. Days after, the man was in the Army. He worked as a projectionist for training films. On weekends, he would go to Seattle to see a girl he was dating. It was on one of these trips that he found himself as the sole crew member catching a ride in a Douglas AD bomber. They were heading from Seattle back to the San Francisco Bay Area. As the bomber climbed into the air, the rear kept ripping open. As gusts of wind blew through the aircraft, the man fought to keep the plane door closed. Next, the oxygen system failed. The man attached a breathing mask to his face, and his palms began to sweat. Then the intercom system cut out. Moments later, the pilot burst out of the cockpit. His face was pale white, and he told the man that their fuel system had just failed. The pilot and the co-pilot would have to make a crash landing at sea. Turbulence rocked the plane as he stumbled through the cabin and grabbed onto a life raft. Minutes later, his stomach lurched. The old bomber was falling through the sky at an alarming rate. Without warning, the bomber's underbelly smacked into the first waves from the ocean and then bounced back up into the air. Glass shattered, and the next bounce on the stormy sea was the plane's last. Salt water poured inside. The man leapt into action. The cabin door was jammed shut and wouldn't open. Behind the door, the pilots were yelling for him to save himself. They had an escape hatch, but he was on his own. The man cursed as the salt water now rose past his waist. With the water reaching his chest, he fought to keep the broken cabin door open. He felt the icy seawater on his neck as he wrapped the cords of a life raft around his hands. After a deep breath, the water rose above his head, and he pushed off the door frame of the sinking bomber and out into the sea. On the ocean's surface, waves crashed against his face. He pulled the cord to puncture the CO2 cartridge on the yellow raft. Taking stock of his situation, he looked around and saw a faint light in the foggy distance. He checked his compass to ensure it was in the direction of land, and then leaned over the raft and paddled with his bare hands. Shivering uncontrollably, he kept dipping his hands into the icy water, propelling himself forward. As he approached the light, he could make out several small buildings. When his raft came close enough, he leapt over the side and pulled it in. Laughing and cursing, he pulled the raft up onto the beach and laid back onto the pebbles of the Northern California shore. He looked up and down the shore, but couldn't see any sign of the pilots. He ran towards the buildings on shore, which turned out to be a radio station. Within the hour, the Coast Guard retrieved the two pilots. The near-death experience opened his eyes. How would he honor that gift of life? Years later, his service was complete, and he left the military. The tall and lanky man decided to move to Los Angeles to find the next adventure. By this point, he was older, married, and had kids. During the days, he worked as an apartment manager, dealing with tenants and fixing whatever was broken. At night, he worked as a gas station attendant. One evening, a businessman drove through to have his car serviced. As he wrapped up the job, he noticed the businessman staring at him intently. The man extended his hand with a card and said, "If you're looking for work, why don't you come and see me on Monday? We'll meet you at the west entrance to the Universal lot." Eager for a new opportunity and more money, the tall man took the car and nodded. "See you Monday." The next Monday, at the Universal lot, the tall man paced as he waited. The guy who gave him his card snuck him in with the help of a receptionist. He read a few lines, went home, and didn't think anything of it. Weeks later, he got a call back. Soon he was getting minor parts in small films. At night, by order of his directors, he took acting classes to get rid of all his bad speech and lazy habits. Few thought he was a good actor, and he only got minor roles in westerns. Eventually, he turned to his other love, music. There, he started to develop a persona as a country western singer. He was making a bit of money touring and performing, but the albums never broke into the Billboard Top 100. Soon it was clear that music was much harder than acting, and he turned back to taking roles in films. They went okay, but soon tragedy struck. One of his closest friends and business manager died, and his career stagnated. The tall man's breakout didn't come until a few years later when he played a San Francisco police inspector and delivered the lines, "You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?" Dirty Harry was a hit, and sequels followed, along with one of the most immortal lines in film history, "Go ahead, make my day." The tall man is, of course, Clint Eastwood. After Dirty Harry, he set up a production company and soon began acting in and directing his own films. His cadence and output were astonishing, averaging close to one film each year. Clint Eastwood has shaped American culture in a powerful way. His prolific acting and directing haven't stopped. Today, Eastwood has acted in or directed more than 67 films. Eastwood's work and life embody Americana and the idea that life is complicated, but by trusting your instincts, showing up, and consistently putting out new work, you can break through. That's his story. What's yours going to be?
Thanks for listening to The Story. If you love this story and want more, tap subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode. Thank you again to our presenting sponsor, Salesforce. We use Salesforce every day to create podcasts like The Story. Learn why 99 of Fortune 100 brands partner with Salesforce and see their products in action at salesforce.com. The Story is created by Mission, a veteran-owned media company and podcast network. To get more stories like this one, you can subscribe to our daily newsletter at mission.org. Mission creates custom podcasts and original content in partnerships with world-class companies like Salesforce. To learn more about how you can sponsor an original podcast, head over to mission.org/studios.